This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Today I'm talking to Silvina DeVita. She's a designer and paper artist and she runs her online business, My Paper Cut Forest. Conversation, not just about what paper art is, because I'll be honest, I didn't know. We also spoke about how she is the Etsy team captain for Brighton and what that entails. And we also spoke a lot about shopping small and supporting local businesses. So I hope you find this conversation as interesting as I did when I was recording it. Really hope you enjoy it. Love to know what you think. And now I'd like to introduce you to Silvina. So hi, Silvina. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're so welcome. So I'm really delighted we got to speak today. I was just saying before we recorded, I'm so impressed with, you know, the products that you create. So if we can please get started by you just giving us an introduction to yourself, your business, and what it is you create and sell, please.
Yeah. So my name is Silvina DeVita, and I'm a designer and a paper artist, and I run a business online that is called My Paper Cut Forest. What I do is quite niche, it's weird to describe, but basically in a nutshell will be miniatures, so like keepsakes miniatures for events like anniversaries, or you know, a little gift, a memento just to remember someone. And in general, yeah, they're all like mini paper sculptures. I do other sizes, but you know, the miniatures are, they're quite kind of unique. And as well, I do a lot of craft kits and eco paper seed cards that you can plant and give you flowers. And yeah, the craft kits that you can just then do a lot of paper sculptures at home, basically.
That's amazing. And I was saying to you earlier, I've never seen anyone who does quite what you do. So I would love to know, how did you get into papercraft?
Right. It's a long kind of path. I've been doing this for now around 10, 11 years. And it really came from a place of necessity, to be honest. I'm a graphic designer, and I work as a graphic designer for many, many years for big, massive companies. And as well agencies and as a freelancer. And it got to the point that working all the time in the computer, I just needed a break. And I just realized how much I needed to work with my hands. And the thing was that I thought, okay, how can I just get you know, what I love and my passion and my illustrations into a 3D? Because, you know, it was very hard just to get out of the digital world, really. So then basically I started just to do illustrations and cutting them in paper as a 2D, like in boxes. So my very first work were like silhouettes as in boxes, like a 2D work. And it could be like from, you know, I started making that for friends who were getting married. You know, for example, there were like two people on a bicycle and their names and the date. And they were like floating on a background. And then people were like, oh, that's really nice. Would you do one for me? So it all came like by kind of by chance. And then I thought, okay, someone said, oh, why don't you open an Etsy shop? And I had no idea what I was doing. The photographer was terrible. But I thought, okay, let's just give it a go. When I just realized I really enjoy that, I just actually get myself a studio in very near to where I was living in London then. And I thought, okay, I will just try to get one day or try 2 days a week just to do this and develop maybe more designs, more ideas. And basically, I just realized that it was making me really happy just to work with my hands. So, and then after, then I hit a postnatal depression, and that really, really helped me just to get out that hole. I'm kind of really pleased of this kind of need of changing the career, but not really changing, because at the same time, it's kind of, you know, what I'm trained just to do, you know, as a designer.
Yeah, thank you for explaining all of that. And how long ago was it that you started your Etsy store?
So I started in 2012. So next year will be 10 years. So 9 years for the Etsy shop. And oh my God, it's been such a brilliant experience. So when I started just to sell on Etsy, I was selling under my name. My name is a Latin name who, in general, not many people can pronounce correctly, you know. So then I was just trying just to say, okay, my shop is called Silvina De Vita. Oh, yeah, good luck to you just to get you found. So then it took me a while just to realize that selling under my own name was not working. And it was just really hard. So then I just realized that I need just to rebrand. So I just thought of it for a long, long, long time. What can be the name? And I just decided to go to my paper cut forest first, because well, of course paper cut, so it's a part of the SEO in the brand. But as well, I thought, okay, how can I put my name into my brand? So in Latin, Silvina, that's my name, means from the forest, from the woods. So I thought, okay, that's brilliant. And if I can just put forest in my brand, then I'm kind of there in some point. So then I just decided just to go there. And the logo are three trees, which are my three children. So basically, I thought that go better in terms of an English speaking country, but as well, just putting a little bit of me in that name too.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for sharing all of that. And did rebranding make a difference for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it was just more, it sounded nicely. And as well, it was all, for me, it was just kind of perfect. I was so happy with it when I just got to the, you know, I mean, I put a lot of thought into the logo on that, but it was just happy just to realize that, you know, it was better for the SEO. It just sounded nicely. It really kind of goes with my values and my family values. You know, we're really outdoorsy family. We spend a lot of time, you know, camping and outdoors and in the woods and in the, you know, so actually kind of makes sense that your brand as well, you know, reflects a little bit of you, you know. And then, of course, in other stuff, you know, I realized a lot of importance in photography. There was a long journey that, you know, you learn all the time, but I'm always super grateful from the, you know, very first sale to everything, to develop different products and things. And so, yes, you know, it's good just to get to that realization, but it's never late just to change the, you know, your name. If you have a name of your brand, you're not happy with it. I mean, I did it and that was fine, you know?
Yeah, thank you for that. And, you know, I never thought about the fact that actually having a name that maybe people can't always spell correctly makes it harder for them to find you in the first place. I'd never actually considered that when choosing a name. And that does make total sense.
Absolutely. I mean, it was just to me, you know, I always thought, oh, well, you put your name. But because my name is really very, very Latin Italian, you know. It's kind of then you get into a model, you know, okay, you spell it like this. And to be honest, I spent I think half of my life correcting people about my name, like, no, it's not Silvana, no, it's not Irina, no, it's not Silvia. So imagine, you know, if I just you know, I'm in a meeting and they say, oh, what's your shop name? like no one could catch it. And I just realized that, yeah, from one that, of course, I love my name and I'm very proud of it. In terms of SEO, if in terms of practicality, you know, if you are in an English speaking country, it has to be, you know, easy to find. And I just thought that if as well, it's part of the SEO, you know, put the paper cut there, or pay, you know, just the actually the word of what you do, it will help you as well just to be found on Etsy, which is an absolutely massive search engine. So if you can just do that to help yourself, it's just kind of like you're being your own friend, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. That's such good advice. I've never heard that before, but it's such good, sensible advice. Thank you. So I'm thinking that when you started on Etsy, sort of 9 years ago, was it relatively new then?
What, Etsy?
Etsy as a platform and what you do, I guess. I think perhaps both were relatively new.
I think Etsy has been around for a long, long time, actually. Right to think it was founded in 2005, so wow. I think it's been around something like 17 years. It's, you know, it's a massive company that I think is, you know, quite new in terms of awareness here in the UK, but actually in the US is a massive platform just to sell. When I opened, actually, the funny thing, it was mainly all US customers and European. And I think on the high street is around 16 years or 15 years as well. So I think in this country, not on the high street was more predominant, more than Etsy. But it's just, yeah, it's been around for a long time. And yeah, when I started, not many people was just working with paper in the way that I started working. But then, of course, it got popular, which is, I mean, it was a lovely thing to do, to be honest. It's a very nice, mindful craft. So I'm very happy that people can just use it to, you know, to get out of anxiety or just to help just to quiet the mind. So I can see more of it's getting a little bit more popular right now.
Yeah, thank you for explaining that, because in my mind Etsy hadn't been around as long, but I wonder if that's because it's just been in the more recent years that it's become more popular in the UK.
yeah exactly. It's the awareness, absolutely. I think it's been establishing, yeah, from 2005, but is the awareness in this country, I think it's been a bit new, so like let's say a few years. But in the, yeah, in the US, there are shops that they're mainly, you know, their salaries all Etsy, so you can definitely make, you know, your salary just selling on Etsy for sure. You know, it's huge.
Well, that's interesting. And I think it is exactly what you said, because I think 10 years ago, if I was looking for something a bit niche or something personalized, for example, I would have gone to Not on the High Street. Whereas now, if I was looking for that same product, I would go to Etsy.
Yeah. Oh, I think both platforms are phenomenal. You know, Not on the High Street is this brilliant, brilliant platform. But basically, yeah, the awareness in here in the UK was more about Not on the High Street, because, of course, you know, it was actually focused on UK sellers and makers and artists. And so it made kind of sense, you know, when actually Etsy is worldwide. I mean, now, I think 2 years ago, they put a massive focus on India. So they opened Etsy India. So it's kind of really, really huge, you know. It's huge in Germany and France. Canada and the US, like, absolutely huge. But basically they are opening more and more offices all over the world, so it's making a little bit more aware in other countries right now.
Okay, and how easy, because I genuinely don't know this, I mean, can you, as a UK Etsy seller, can you sell in all of those other marketplaces? Does that happen by default, or is that something you have to actually do?
No, it happens by default. I mean, basically anyone can sell to absolutely every country. You can, if you don't want to do that, then basically you deselect the option of shipping, and then that's it. You know, that's kind of an obvious thing that you do those countries, you don't choose the shipping cost, you know, like when you do the, your shipping profile. But basically what happened is that unfortunately due to Brexit this year, it's been really, really difficult just to trade to European countries. So you can see for the last, I don't know, let's say since January, February, the selling it in terms of sales for the Europe countries are quite low in comparison to how they used to be other years. But you know, actually anyone can sell anywhere. So this is kind of a thing when let's see, I think it's kind of a window to the world, to be honest. You have no idea who's watching and who's looking, and you have to think that people who already go to Etsy, they have like the wallets out, they have the wallets in the hand, so they're there ready to spend. So it's actually, to me, I always just say that it's always a good tip just to spend the time on your Etsy shop, because people is already there, you know, one click away just to purchase. They're there for shopping. So yeah, it's just brilliant just to work on your tags and search terms. So basically you just get into the search of that category, for example.
Thank you. That's really, really good advice. Thank you so much. I hadn't actually thought about the fact that you get so much reach, because on lots of other marketplaces, it's almost the default is you sell in your own country. And then if you want to sell in other countries, that's like an add-on. But I didn't really think about the fact that Etsy has such a huge reach. That is fantastic. Before we talk a little bit more about Etsy, I did just want to touch on, so I know you sell on Etsy and on Not on the High Street. How would you say the two compare? And are there certain products in your opinion that are better from one than the other? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I'm quite new to Not on the High Street. I've been there only a year and a half, and I'm absolutely love the platform. And funny enough, I started last year when actually just before the lockdown. So to me, it was quite, I mean, a great platform just to be in. And as well, yes, it is different audiences for sure. Before that, one of my main earners was Etsy, and I had more international customers. I mean, I had a lot of orders from the US all over the years. And but I will say that Not on the High Street loves personalized items, and all my main sellers in Not on the High Street are personalized items and sculptures and little domes, which I do have some on Etsy, but I think predominantly more personalized or Not on the High Street, I would say. But in general, with this Christmas time, I mean, they both are really, really good, you know, for like Christmas person, like seasonal, it's amazing, both platforms, I would say.
Thank you. So I know that you're the Etsy team captain for Brighton. Can you just talk a little bit about what that means, and so what that role is, what it means, and why you decided to take that on?
Oh, I love community, to be honest. I'm really, really passionate about the work of community and get together and how a group of people really, really can make a huge change. I think that I was always like this. This is just not like new from now, or for Etsy, really. You know, when I was a kid, I've always been like in kind of like that kind of scout leader, you know, with more, you know, when I was around 15, 16, I was leader of the 9-year-old and we, you know, things like that. So I always wanted, love just the community group and the kind of teaching side of it. And the same when I finished my design degree, I spent 4 years teaching University of Buenos Aires before coming here to England. So I really do believe in like education and that, you know, good education can change the world, really. So in terms of Brighton Etsy team, Brighton is such a phenomenal space for artists and makers. And when I move, and I had my third child here, and I got, again, postnatal depression. It was an amazing team, and they really helped me just to not only just to make friends, just to get my feet in the ground in a new city. They help you just to get, you know, your head around things and shops. And they were amazing. They were absolutely wonderful. So when the team decided just to step down, they stepped down as a team, I thought, you know what? And they gave me so much that I wanted to give back. So I just put an application of like, oh, you know, be part of the team. And yeah, now the new team is me and four other team leaders. So we're five in the team. It was just that, you know, to all of us, we wanted just to give back, just to help other makers that they're just starting, or artists that they are just amazing, but they don't know how just to, you know, sell the stuff, or how just to, you know, kind of do merchandise, or actually, you know, do, you know, I don't know, from a painting just to a greeting card. So basically we're helping them basically for free. I mean, they don't pay us. Etsy doesn't pay us. So we are, you know, absolutely doing this because we love doing it. Yeah. Just helping the community here in local. And Etsy does have this. They're called teams. All over the country, you can find a team that can help you. And they put events as well. So we put events for Christmas when we used to have like in real person events or craft parties. So this program that Etsy have about teams is fantastic, because whatever you change in the platform, we teams are informed. So we can inform our members, you know, say things change in the SEO or things like that. And actually they do help us in terms of funding just to do this kind of event when it was like the Christmas market at the very end of the year. So I think it's fantastic that you have this community around in your local area that can just, with people, you know, like you, that they're trying just to make a living as a small business. And as well for questions, right? Like, oh, how do I do this? Even technical things. So it's just lovely. We used to get in person every month for a coffee mornings. And yeah, it was just a lovely thing just to do in terms of meeting new friends, and as well, you know, some of the artists and freelance work on their own. So it's been a very nice excuse just to get together with other people every now and then, and to share, you know, all the up and downs of working, you know, as a freelancer and on your own.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you for explaining all of that, because I know we have lots of Etsy sellers who listen. So I guess anyone who isn't already connected with their local team can go and find one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely do. You know, like there's teams all over the country. So you can find one that is near to the local area. And right now that we couldn't do in person, we can do Zoom as well. So you can just join Zoom meetings as well. So and there's a lot of like on social media. So, you know, it's always nice to have someone out there can have your back, you know.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Because I think there's just so much, like it's such a steep learning curve, isn't it? Or getting started on any marketplace or any your running of your business. There's just so much to do. And so having people to help guide you through it, particularly at the beginning, is wonderful. And then it's obviously great as well for you, who you've been doing this for a long time, to be able to help other people that are getting started. I just think that's just wonderful for everyone.
I just think in life, really, if you give, it gives back to you. I honestly think that I always feel that I get more out of it in terms of all the friends that I made and all the amazing people that I have so met, so much talent here, you know, so many people that I met. And it's because of the, you know, of just being in the team. So I really think it's just, you know, it's a win-win situation. And you can always help others, as you say, like you, someone help you and then you will help, you want us to give back. So yeah, it's a lovely thing. So yes, do go and join an Etsy team, wherever you are.
Oh, thank you. And so this probably sounds like a good space to just ask you. So do you have any sort of top tips for doing well on Etsy? What are some of the things that when a new seller sort of joined your team, what are some of the things you would talk to them about?
Well, I think that's everything. If you put the time, if you put something, it will give you back. So I open my Etsy shop every single day and I check the listings that are expire and renew them. And before I renew them, I check that all the tax are complete, that all the, you know, all the title is still good and relevant. And I just check the photos that they're all there, between, you know, 6 to 10 photos that they're good. So basically I just pay attention and I check. So I would just say top tips will be just to kind of check everything, complete your about section, complete your policies, check that your delivery profiles are correct so you don't lose money on the shipping costs. And basically try things, you know, if you have a lot of stock around, just run a sale. You know, Etsy love a sale. When you put a coupon or a sale, it will boost you, it will boost in the search engine. As well, if you have a new product, they boost that automatically when you just have a new listing. And just try things. If you don't know if you know, you have an idea and you don't know if it's going to sell, I always straight away put it on Etsy, because it's a good way just to know if that product will do well or not. And another top tip for me that it was like a discovery, is that actually invest in photography. Invest the time and take good photos. And if you feel that you're not good at taking photos, just do pay a photographer. And to me, it makes a massive, massive difference when I invested on my photos just to send to a photographer. And that was just incredible, the change. I used to think, oh, you know, whatever is fine, this. And I just didn't realize in any e-commerce the importance of a good picture, because they cannot see the product, you know, particularly if it's overseas. But if you have good photos and you can show them, you know, the size and the materials and, you know, how it's done, it's just you're partly, you know, 50% of the job is done. You know, you're showing the best of it. And now, particularly as well, Etsy is allowing videos. It's just great. You can actually show process, how it's made. You can just show, I don't know, for example, let's say you have a vintage shop. With videos, you can show if that vintage clothes or piece has imperfections. So, you know, it's just there for you. So the thing is, if you complete everything, if you do on the videos, if you complete your bio section, you put photos, you talk about you, I think it's just you're making a real connection with the seller, with the buyer. And those connections last, you know. I have clients that they've been buying from me again and again for the past eight years. And it's just incredible. I can't believe, you know, that they're still there. I always, you know, remember them. I remember the name. I just, you know, a little note in every, a little handwritten note, you know. Just those little things which I think make you memorable, you know. So yeah, that will be my top tip.
That's really good advice. Thank you so much. I didn't actually know you could put videos on Etsy. Is that something relatively new?
Yeah, it started last year, so it's very, very new.
I have to be honest, I have, it's not something I've actually seen on any listings yet as a customer, so I'm going to look forward to starting to see some, because you're right, it's when you're selling online, it's, you made such a good point about photography and about the videos, in that there's only so much that words can do, because you don't want the hassle of getting something, it's not right, you have to send it back, or if it's personalized, you can't do that. So you have to be confident that what you're buying is what you're after. And so I think photos, as you say, are just an amazing way of just, you as the customer get such a good idea of what you're going to expect. So if the images were poor, personally, I would think, well, if the images aren't good, maybe the product isn't so good.
And sometimes it's really not a reflection. It's a reflection that maybe you didn't have the money then. You know, to me it was that I didn't have the money then, and I didn't understand the importance, isn't it? And then I think once you do click, when you're like, as you say, you know, you're drawn to the beautiful picture. So in a search engine that is all about 3 million products shouting at you, which are you going to click on? If you think in that way, you know, like, you have so many competition, so many things in Etsy that they are there, just do, you know, buy me, which one are you going just to click? You're going just to click to the photo that draw your attention. So I think it's actually, you know, and again, to me, I'm honestly guilty here. It was very late to discover this, you know, just I thought I put all the time and effort just to design more original things, more new things. And I just didn't realize that, you know, maybe if I shown my products in a better light, in a better way, they would just sell better. And once I realized that, I mean, Holly Tucker always says that about like photography. She was just very photographer. And I just thought, oh my God, Emma, maybe she's right. And she absolutely was, you know, because as soon as I saw my product, when I got my first batch of photography from my photographer, I was like, oh my goodness, how I didn't saw this before, you know, and it was like a light bulb moment for me. So I think you get all the time these traps that you think, oh, well, I'm not there yet, good just to invest. But actually, that money investment on a photographer, it will come to you 10 times, just 10 times. So do invest, you know, doing two things. In getting your products, like unique things, you know, like in putting your brain into unique things that are, you know, don't copy, just do your own, you know, your own unique thing, and actually persevere, because uniqueness is what actually is going just to separate you from everyone who's copying, you know, the rest. And as well, invest on photos, you know. So I have just to say that myself personally, I'm quite guilty just to realizing that. And now I'm really advocate of like invest in your photos.
So thank you for sharing that. But I think it's one of those things that can seem quite obvious with hindsight, but you don't know what you don't know. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and she was talking about how she had a realization a bit later on she's a maker, and she was saying she had a realization that creating your products is only like a small piece of it. You actually have to put in a lot of work to actually, and she spoke about how she was happily making and wasn't spending anywhere near as much time on selling, you know, making sure the pictures were nice and all the other things that come into actually selling your product. And while it can seem really obvious, I also think, particularly if you love the making part and that's, you know, you're in it because you enjoy doing it, I guess it can be easy to underestimate exactly what else is required, especially if you have a brilliant product. If you have a great product, you're happy with it, you love it, it's really, you know it's really good. I think it still can be easy to underestimate what you have to do to actually sell it to people and get it for them to find it in the first place.
Absolutely. You are 100% right. And I think what happened was last year, let's say you are, you know, you sell amazing at Fairs or in open houses. Brilliant. Great. So you never needed just to do a photo because, you know, you go in person and people just see the product there holding their hands and see such an amazing product. And then that's it. But what happened last year? Last year, everything went, you know, feet up, right? Everything changing in a whirlwind. And then you realize, oh, okay, if that was my main earner, what do I do? You know, so then basically just, you know, realizing that there are other ways that, because I completely get your point. Yes, I love making. This is my favorite bit. My favorite bit is just designing new things, try and error, all the process. And actually, once it's done to the photographer, I'm bored. That's it. Finished. I wanted to do the new thing, right? But that's, you're completely right. That's 10% of the thing. Then the photography is just the listings, is doing a wholesale catalog, is thinking about a planning and your financial, about costs. It's massive, you know, and that's what I think is just running your own business. You know, yes, the fun bit. It's as you say, making. I love making. I love, you know, designing new things and doing prototypes is my favorite thing. But without the financial plan, without the cost, without checking and doing my wholesale catalog and you know, approaching new shops, then that's the other part of the business that, you know, if you wanted to make a profitable business, you have just to as well take care of that part too. So I'm 100% agree with you, Vicky. What you just, you just say.
Thank you so much for that, Silvina. And when you, I'm going to change the subject a little bit now, if that's okay. So when you were talking, then you were talking about wholesale. So, and I know that you sell your products. Is it? Am I right in thinking it's mostly local retailers that you sell your products to?
Well, last year I was selling the National Trust and in the Wellcome Collection, and other retailers. Really, some I think I have. Well, no, I have things in the Netherlands as well. So actually, I have my stuff in a lot of shops at the moment. Well, I mean, before COVID, but it was, around, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 shops here in the UK and in other parts of the world, really. But but absolutely, I first contacted and I started with a lot of local shops. Because I really think local is very important,
Thank you. And I guess that's kind of what the next topic I was trying to get us onto, actually, with that little segue there, was that I know that you do feel really strongly about shopping small and shopping locally. I've seen you speak about that before. So I wondered if we could just talk about a little bit of that now, please.
Yeah, I just, I think it's just the same with the community. The shopping small and shop local is so absolutely important, because you're not only supporting, you know, that, I don't know, that sale for that independent shop means a new boiler, right? New shoes for your child, you know, means I don't know, fixing the roof. It's just so important. And I know we get sometimes in the convenience of Amazon, but to be honest, Amazon doesn't need, you know, any more money. Thank you, Jeff. You're fine, you know, when actually if you are investing in, you know, your local bookshop, you're actually really putting your money and, you know, as Holly Tucker always say, vote with your money. And I think that vote with your money is quite a really important thing. And you are, you know, supporting that bookshop and that shop or that coffee shop that you love to go with your friends when you're in town. And if you just stop doing that, that means you know, that shop has to close. I was just really, really sad last year with everything that happened with retail, but it broke my heart just to going back to Brighton when everything started opening and see so many shops that they just couldn't make it, you know. But of course you understand why, you know, you have to pay rent and things like that. So it's the same with online, you know, when you are investing a little bit more money, of course it will be more expensive. It's more expensive because, you know, the material, because that person, the material, they source for maybe another small business. So in general, small businesses work with small businesses, you know, like in terms of, you know, where do you get your paper and your glue and your this and that. And they all have, like, you know, costs just to pay. But in general, small business and the local businesses, they are much more, you know, get attention to detail. You will just receive these, you know, little notes. They're just really grateful as well, just to receive your custom. So I really do believe that if you do love your high street, and if you just do love your independent, you know, bookshop or coffee shop, or, you know, you just do invest in that, because in the long term, that's, you know, it's kind of a bubble, right? The money that you invest in that small business, I'm sure they will invest in another small business. So in general, the economy is just growing, and you're just, you know, giving the opportunity to thrive locally. And I think all the community in general and the local community, you know, elevates when you do that. So I think more than ever now, post pandemic, I think it's very important just to really, really think when you spend, where are you going to spend it? Don't you think?
No, I do think I completely agree with you. I mean, I have to be honest, because I like to be honest. I'm not against selling on Amazon or buying on Amazon either. But as a, you know, for a small business, that can be a great way for them as a business to get more exposure and more customers, depending on what they sell. Because For some businesses, a handmade platform isn't the best place, and so they need to be somewhere else. But as a consumer, personally, I always do think about what I'm buying and think, okay, is this something that I can get on my high street? As opposed to just going online and looking, particularly now, as you say, high streets are just reopening and they all need help. So I think sometimes it's just thinking about what it is you're looking to buy and thinking, do I have to be going on the internet necessarily to get this? Or can I walk down the road or get a bus into town or whatever and pick this up from someone close to me? I think that's all it comes down to, really, isn't it? Making those small, just being conscious rather than automatically open up your browser. Not there's anything wrong with shopping online either, but you know what I mean.
No, absolutely. No. That's exactly what I tried just to say, the same that you. I mean, don't get me wrong. Last year, Amazon and a lot of even Etsy, not on the high street, come on. They're all like online marketplaces. And they were amazing when nothing was open. So they really, people had a necessity and they helped with that necessity. So I'm not saying no just to online because, of course, it's part of the retail world and it has a phenomenal things as well. But what I'm saying is exactly as you said, now the things are opening up. That shops are reopened the doors and you have a gift shop nearby. And it's just nice just to be a little bit more conscious in maybe the next Christmas, the Christmas shopping, when you start doing your Christmas shopping, if you start early, if you start now, you can actually buy from the shops on your high street, and that will really, really help them and help the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. Because as you say, I mean, online is necessity. And day to day, sometimes, you are going to go online and get things. I think we all are. But I think you're right. It's about just thinking sometimes, actually, I have got an option and I could go to my high street, or I could go to someone local who makes cards, or whatever the thing is, that sometimes it's just a case of looking around. And I think there is definitely more of sort of a desire for that. I mean, I see on local Facebook groups, for example, often people say, does anyone on here make teacher gifts? Does anyone here make cards? Is there a local business that does whatever? I do really genuinely feel that there's a bit of a drive now where more people do want to shop in small businesses and do want to shop local. That's what I'm certainly seeing in my area anyway, that it does really feel like people are behind that, which is really good to see.
Yeah, no, you're quite right. I think, honestly, the sense of community is growing and growing. And it's that kind of thing. I don't know, when I see posts like that, the first things that come to mind is people from my team. So actually, this is the thing about like shop local and small community and community of makers. And it's just that people recommend local people, right? Because this is like the connection that we were just talking before. When I see this post like that and they were like, I don't know, do you know a graphic design? I recommend someone from the team. Or do you know someone who do, I don't know, this particular card of like bunnies? And I know who. So it's a really lovely way as well to, word of mouth, which is kind of like the best PR that you can do for anyone. But I think it's getting great, the sense of community, which I think after last year, people are more putting the effort, I think, and definitely, as you say, very conscious of it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Sylvina. So I've just got one last question before we finish, if that's okay. Yeah. And that is, what would your number one piece of advice be for other product creators and sellers?
Top one tip will be just be original. Just do your thing. Just keep your lane, do your thing. Many people will just tell you that won't sell, that actually just go with your gut. If you have a feeling that, I like it and I think it will sell. And maybe I think that there's nothing like it. I think it's just with product design, sometimes you get into the, just go for it, just try it and time will tell you if it sells or not. When I designed my craft kits, that was because I was doing workshops, and when I was finishing the workshop in person, so this was around 6 years or so, I thought, well, some people really like the workshops that we did. And so I wanted just to offer them my craft kit, you know, so then they can just continue at home. And they were not selling that well. And of course, last year, they became my bestseller product. And I didn't know that. Because, of course, it wasn't essential. People wanted just to do craft, and people have, you know, the anxiety people was raising, and they needed just to do something in the hands, with their hands at home. So actually, you know, you never know when that moment will come to you. In terms of, for example, I don't know, you say, oh, well, it's not selling my acrylic brush. And then you know what? If in 3 years, mushroom acrylic brush is trending, it will be that moment. You know, so kind of like the advice is just keep faith and just keep faith on that, on your gut, on your thing that you love the product, it's a good product, it's nice. Just continue doing what you do, because you never know when it's coming that for you, you know, when that product will get trendy. You know, which I think is much more honorable, being like truth to you, that actually all the time chasing trends, you know, because if you're truth to you, to your design, to what you love, to what you know what you are, it will come to you in when it's the right time. So yeah, that will be actually my top tip to any maker or designer. Just keep going what you're doing, you know, and don't follow trends. Not all the time.
No, thank you. I really love that. And I really liked it when you started off by saying, you know, stay in your own lane, because I think it's so easy to look at what everyone else is doing and think, oh, that person's doing this, maybe I should do that.
But yeah.
In my experience, and I'm sure others have had different experiences, of course we all have, but in my experience, every time I've tried to do something because someone else is doing it, it's never worked out for me.
Yeah.
The ideas that come from me work better. Do you know what I mean? I feel like if it comes from you, it seems to work out better than if you're just doing it because everyone else is doing it.
Absolutely. And as well, in general, you know, don't you find as a consumer that you are like drawn to something different, right? Like you are like drawn to that, oh, I never seen that before. Oh, I never, you know, if you just be all the same, it's kind of, you know, you will get lost in that sea of the same thing. So even though if it doesn't sell extremely well at the beginning, as I said, they were selling, but not incredibly. And last year, boom, like it was a mental. So what I'm trying to say is just, you know, keep faith on that. Just keep, you know, keep faith on what you're doing. And if you just focus and keep in the lane on that, you know, no, this pro is true to me, to what I love to do, you know, like to my mindful business, to trying to get more into mental health. And that's important to me. So I really wanted to give that in my craft kit. You know that in the end, it does come. But yeah, you're completely right. The comparison lane is such a trap, isn't it? It's an easy trap just to fall into, isn't it?
Yeah. Plus, I also think that if everyone else is doing something, I'm usually the last to know. So it probably means by then that I'm too late as well. I think that's what
like
it means.
Always late to the party.
Yeah, always. Well, thank you so much for this, Sylvia. I've loved talking to you. Thank you so much for everything that you've shared. It's been brilliant.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I hope this is useful for any makers and artists out there.
Oh, it's going to be so useful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, I'd love you to get in touch and let me know what you think. Do remember to follow so that you get all future episodes as soon as they're ready.
Hi, this is just a little note. Say if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.